Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the New York Times, the News and Observer, The Week Magazine, Rolling Stone, and Entertainment Weekly. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. This program is designed to provide the latest coverage of classical, folk, jazz, blues, rock, country, and pop music news. But first, these musical trivia questions. Today's musical trivia questions come to us from the websites onthisday.com and billboard.com. Question number one. It was on this very day back in 1923 that an ordinance was passed in Michigan forbidding what? Was that A, forbidding singing out of tune? Was it B, forbidding dancers from gazing into the eyes of their partners? Was it C, forbidding brass bands from playing in outdoor areas? Or was it D, forbidding dance halls to be within a quarter mile of churches or graveyards? So what became illegal in Michigan on this day back in 1923? And question number two, what was the first single to be ranked number one on the Billboard Hot 100 list? Was that A, Glenn Miller's In the Mood? Was it B, Ricky Nelson's Poor Little Fool? Was it C, Percy Faith's Theme from a Summer Place? Or was it D, the Beatles' Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band? The first single to be ranked number one on the Billboard Hot 100. What was that tune anyway? The answers to these two important trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. Our transitions come to us from the website onthisday.com, and today, quote-unquote, is the weekend of August the 19th. Well, it was on this very day, back in 1882, that Tchaikovsky's 1812 Overture debuted in Moscow. 1882 today. And it was a quarter century ago today, 1997, that Alabama Governor Fob Jane, in the Alabama State Capitol, dedicated a 50-mile stretch of Interstate 65 to the memory of Hank Williams. The section of roadway was renamed the Hank Williams Memorial Lost Highway, 1997, today. And in country music news, we have this article titled, Church Music. This is published in Walter Scott's Personality in Parade magazine on the 14th of August, 2022. Previously, only members of Eric Church's Church Choir fan club were able to purchase the album titled And, part of his 2021 three-album Heart and Soul project. But it's now getting a wide release, August 19th, on CD, vinyl, and digital platforms. It was recorded over 28 days in the Blue Ridge Mountains of North Carolina in a recording studio housed in a restaurant, not far from where Church, 45, grew up in the town of Granite Falls. I'm the hardest critic when it comes to making sure every song deserves to be on the record, says Church, who feels the new release deserves to be heard by as many people as possible. I started going, what? Just wait till the world finds out, about this. Tchaikovsky's Piano Concerto No. 1 in B-flat minor introduces our classical music news. It's entitled Piano Eats Accompanist's Sheet Music in Page-Turning Nightmare. This was obviously a particularly tasty Tchaikovsky tune. This is written by Sophia Alexandra Hall in ClassicFM.com on August 16, 2022. Pianist Angela Todorova was accompanying a violinist in a performance of Tchaikovsky's Meditation for Violin and Piano when the unthinkable happened. Todorova's page turner, who was very engaged in the music and turned the page at the right time, unfortunately lost grip of the sheet music and the keyboard part slid into the piano, swallowing the paper whole. Both the page-turner and Todorova couldn't keep a straight face as the page-turner searched frantically, looking through the strings of the piano to find a clue as to where the music had gone. Luckily, Todorova was able to continue playing, showing true musicianship and skill, despite having lost the upcoming notes. After an anxiety-inducing 20 seconds, the page-turner managed to retrieve the music from the instrument's jaws, and it's unclear if the violinist even noticed the chaotic scene unraveling behind her. Regardless, both musicians kept a clear head and superb level of professionalism during the improbable incident and received a deserved round of applause for both their playing and their management of the situation. Brava! And in jazz music news, we have this article titled, 2022 Newport Jazz Festival, Shift in Direction, Diverse Genres Demonstrate Continued Growth at Iconic Festival. This is published in whatsupnews.com by Ken Abrams and Rick Farrell. Sunday, July 31, concluded 3 days of fun in the sun at the historic Newport Jazz Festival at Fort Adams State Park in Newport, Rhode Island. Post-pandemic, the full return of the festival was well attended, selling out on Saturday with near sellouts Friday and Sunday. Whether intended or not, the theme of this year's festival was change. Reflecting a generational shift in jazz music, the kids are taking over, and the kids are all right. No worries, traditionalists. The genre is safe. This kind of thing has happened before, and jazz has survived just fine. A year ago, we interviewed artistic director Christian McBride, who shared his thoughts on the direction of the iconic festival. Make it fun, he said when asked about his goals for the festival. Well, he accomplished that, and more this year, bringing diverse acts to Newport with sounds ranging from hip-hop to traditional jazz, with funk, R&B, world, and even a little rock and roll in the mix. The formula worked. There were far more younger faces in the crowd than in previous years, not to mention younger artists on stage. Not that the old guard didn't bring some heat. Sunday's highlights came from all over the jazz world. 85-year-old bassist Ron Carter, who's played on over 2,100 recordings, was exquisite, setting the tone for the day. Angelique Kidjo and her band brought as much energy as anyone, covering the Talking Heads' Remain in Light album. The bands that got folks dancing, the Soul Rebels, Sampa, The Great, P.J. Morton, and hip-hop legends Digable Planets, among them, were examples of those high-energy acts McBride was talking about. No doubt, the players in these bands are steeped in jazz, but the music is upbeat, affirming, and, as mentioned, danceable. To sum up, Newport has seen the future of jazz, and the future looks bright. And in music research and technology, what is the name of this intro music I just played a snippet of anyway? Well, that's what today's article is all about. It's titled, Wordle Launches New Game for Music Lovers Called Hurdle. And that's spelled H-E-A-R-D-L-E. And it's written by Sam Long in AmericanSongwriter.com, March 2022. Have you heard about the new game for music lovers? For lovers of Wordle, this game is a variant created by Omakase, specifically for music fans. Much like the original game, Hurdle players must guess song titles to complete the game. You listen to the short intro, then find the correct artist and title in the list in as few tries as possible and share your score. The song sample will gradually extend over the number of unsuccessful attempts, but if you can't guess quickly, don't worry too much. Players don't have to make a guess each time and can skip through the sounds until they think they know the answer. Each song is plucked from a list of the most streamed songs in the past decade, according to the game's website. If you need a refresher on the past year's hits, you can check out this website's best songs for each year. Wordle was the latest pandemic-fueled craze to start 2022. Launched amid the outbreak of COVID-19 variant Omicron, Wordle emerged as the next escape from reality craze. See you later, sourdough. So, in line with the rules of Hurdle, here's more of that intro song that I have used to begin the music research and technology section of this program for quite a few years. It's called Syncopated Clock. As noted by this song's composer, Leroy Anderson, in PBS.org, CBS was, in 1950, just starting an evening TV program of old movies called The Late Show, and the producer searched through recent record releases for a theme. Among them was The Syncopated Clock, which caught his fancy. From the very first show, CBS was flooded with telephone calls asking for the name of the theme song, and both CBS and I found ourselves with a hit on our hands.
Take the time to make some sense of what you want to say, and cast your words away upon the waves.
The Master Plan by Oasis introduces our rock and pop music news. It's titled Oasis singer Liam Gallagher stopped playing the violin over fears he'd be bullied at school. This is published in ClassicFM.com by Sophia Alexandra Hall on the 11th of August, 2022. The Oasis frontman, singer, and iconic tambourine player could have brought a very different sound to the 1990s rock band if he had continued playing the violin. Liam Gallagher rose to fame in the 1990s as the lead vocalist of the English rock band Oasis, alongside his brother Noel. The brothers' mother, Peggy, brought the future rock stars their first instruments when they were children. Noel was gifted a guitar from Peggy, which she brought from a mail-order catalog, and Liam was given a violin. According to Supersonic, the complete authorized and uncut interviews, the violin cost £30, putting their mum into debt. Liam was apparently miffed that his elder brother had been given guitar lessons, so as soon as his mum had paid off the classical instrument, he told her, "I'm not carrying that violin up to school. People will think I'm a sissy." The 49-year-old rock star has come a long way from worrying about what other people think when it comes to his music career, and has achieved 4 number one solo albums as well as 7 number one studio albums as part of Oasis. Despite not growing up to become a professional violinist, the sound of the string instrument obviously stayed with Liam and his brother, as in 1994, Oasis released Whatever, a song which heavily featured a small string ensemble, and in 1998, The Master Plan, the title track playing in the background now. But the violin's presence had more impact than just one song in Liam's discography. In 2019, the world discovered the Manchester musician loved classical music. Liam tweeted that he was listening to Erik Satie, a 19th century French classical composer, and chilling out. This caused his followers to start Googling who this artist was and ask for song recommendations so they could listen too. Whilst Liam didn't end up sticking with the violin as a child, there's always time to come back to the instrument, especially if he's since developed his interest in classical music. So, Liam, don't look back in anger at the musical opportunity you missed. You're never too old to be a music student again. Josh Moore's Sunrise introduces our local music news. It's entitled Song Premiere Interview with Josh Moore. This is put out by North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC, on the 6th of August, 2022. WUNC is excited to present the premiere of Sunrise by Carrboro-based singer-songwriter Josh Moore. It's the title track of his forthcoming new album, which was released this past November. Josh states that Sunrise was written in the thick of quarantine summer 2020. The days were melting into each other, and there was a strange and uneasy calm when I walked into the world outside my door. I was writing and recording every day in my house and sending out the music for additional tracking and feedback. Brian Burns states in an IndieWeek.com review that the record is in tune with the most tasteful side of modern country music, like a more reserved Chris Stapleton or a humbler Jason Isbell, and also harks back to the tenderest moments of The Band and Gordon Lightfoot. The title track, playing in the background now, could be a demo of a future radio hit.
Rising on that mountainside.
So, how'd you do on today's trivia questions? Well, the answer to our first question, it was on this very day back in 1923 that an ordinance was passed in Michigan forbidding what? Was it forbidding A, singing out of tune? Was it B, forbidding dancers from gazing into the eyes of their partners? Was it C, forbidding brass bands from playing in outdoor areas? Or was it D, forbidding dance halls to be within a quarter mile of churches or graveyards? Correct answer? Answer B, dancers can't gaze into the eyes of partners. As noted in LegalZoom.com on May the 2nd, 2022, in an article by Stephanie Morrow, titled Top Craziest Laws Still on the Books, did you know it's illegal to educate dogs in Hartford, Connecticut? Or fall asleep under a hairdryer in Florida? In most states, you'll find a number of bizarre laws like those still on the books. Motorists, take heed. If you ever find yourself driving at night through rural parts of Pennsylvania, state law requires that you stop every mile to send up a rocket signal. That's true. And if you see a skittish team of horses coming toward you, be sure to take your car apart piece by piece and hide it under the nearest bushes, unless, of course, you want to be in violation of state law. This absurd Pennsylvania law is technically still on the books. Each state has its own collection of outdated, silly laws, and while these laws may never be enforced, they are still legally valid, because no one has bothered to repeal them. In Missouri, you can't drive down the highway with an uncaged bear in your car. When parking your elephant at a meter in Orlando, Florida, be sure to deposit the same amount of change as you would for a regular motor vehicle. In Illinois, it's illegal to give lighted cigars to your pets, even if they do enjoy a good Cuban from time to time. If you happen to stay in normal Oklahoma, be sure to restrain yourself from teasing dogs by making ugly faces. Many of the antiquated statutes passed in the late 1800s and early 1900s were aimed at protecting the fair sex from unwanted attention or less than flattering reputations. Women in Florida, for example, can be fined for falling asleep under a dryer in a hair salon. The Sunshine State also prohibits unmarried women from parachuting on Sundays. According to Charlotte, North Carolina law, women must be swathed in at least 16 yards of fabric before stepping out into public. In the Big Apple, wearing clingy or body-hugging clothing carries a $25 fine. Pittsburgh bans housewives from hiding dirt under their rugs. And in Memphis, Tennessee, women cannot drive a car unless there is a man with a red flag in front of the car warning the other people on the road. One can easily conclude that some of these silly laws were simply designed to get a laugh or to alleviate the boredom of local legislators. How else could you explain the following Texas law? When two railroad trains meet at a crossing, each shall stop and neither shall proceed until the other has passed. But most of these outdated laws reflect the public standards of the time. In fact, if you want to study how public values have changed over the years, there is no better place to start than with your state and local statutes. Not only will you glean some insight into our past prejudices, but also our best intentions. After all, who but a well-intentioned public official would make it a crime to molest butterflies in California? And the answer to our second question, what was the first single to be ranked number one on the Billboard Hot 100 list? Was it A, Glenn Miller's In the Mood, B, Ricky Nelson's Poor Little Fool, C, Percy Faith's Theme from a Summer Place, or D, the Beatles' Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band? Correct answer? Answer B, Ricky Nelson's Poor Little Fool. As noted in an article by Gary Truss, published in Billboard.com on August 4, 2022, titled 64 Fun Facts from the Billboard's Hot 100's First 64 Years, in honor of the anniversary of the August 4, 1958 launch of the Premier Songs Chart in the U.S., 18-year-old Ricky Nelson's Poor Little Fool, released on Imperial Records, ruled the inaugural Hot 100 rankings in August 1958. What's not always remembered is that while Billboard dropped the most played by jockeys and top 100 sides charts when it introduced the Hot 100, it retained best-selling pop singles in stores for another 2 months. Poor Little Fool led that list on August the 4th and the 11th, just as it did the Hot 100. The song was written by the fine rock and roll songwriter Sharon Seeley when she was just 15 in the mid-1950s. Legend has it that she actively pursued Nelson to record it. After Poor Little Fool was a hit, she became Eddie Cochran's girlfriend and co-wrote some of his timeless hits, including Something Else. So let's close out today's program with a listen to that first number one hit from the Billboard Hot 100, Ricky Nelson's Poor Little Fool.
I used to play around the parts, hasten at my call. But when I met that little girl, I knew that I would fall for a little fool. Oh yeah, I was a fool.
Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Music Review. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. This program is also available as a podcast after the broadcast in our website, ncreadingservice.org. As we leave you now, remember these words. Kindness is a language which blind people see and deaf people hear. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. If you have a suggestion for music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me at 919-832-5138. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Music Review, underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning, please call 919-779-1755. So long, until next time.